Jesus Christ, our great benefactor. That is, from Him flow all the benefits to the human race that our minds can conceive and our hearts accept. There have been many benefactors in my life, my parents, teachers, physicians who've tended to me when I needed help. So many people who have been good to me and by whom I have benefited, but there's no one that I've ever known by name or have met by providence that can anyway be compared to the benefits that Jesus Christ affords to me and will afford to you if you will believe in Him and trust Him. In verse 12, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You'll notice that it states that the Father hath made us meet, that is, fitted to participate in that inheritance that saints who walk in light, that is, who've been born again, will someday be permitted to see and to exist in. He hath made us. I hear so much today about all the things that we must do as human beings. And it seems that we want to take credit for everything that exists, even our own selves. Through the fallacy of the doctrine or teaching of evolution, we glory in the fact that we have thought of ourselves and that we have created ourselves, and that we live because of ourselves, and that so many things are expected out of us because we have, by our own will, made ourselves intelligent and made ourselves powerful. We hear a lot about green today. And now there's a great effort to save the planet. We may save it, but about the time we get through saving it, God will burn it up. Sort of like your old car and you decide you need new tires and all these other new things, and so you get all of them and then you decide to trade it in for a new one. You just wasted your money. And all of the energy that's being expended now, and all of the thoughts that's being put into making our world a wonderful place to live and saving it from certain destruction, I want to emphasize this morning that we are very insignificant and that from God flows our blessings, and that His Son, Jesus Christ, is our great source of benefits. God Himself has made us, through Jesus Christ, fit to be partakers in that inheritance of light that His saints shall someday walk in. Who hath delivered us? Who hath delivered us? Not we ourselves. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? And that's a substantial accomplishment. For one soul to be delivered from the power of darkness, that is, from the inherited power that is satanic, that surrounds us every day of our lives, and walking in darkness, even though we think it is light, is disturbing and frustrating. It is not exciting except in the flesh. But he has made us partakers. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translation is metamorphosis. We were something that we are not now. And all of that has occurred because of the power of God. He hath translated us. That is, changed us so that now we may inherit his blessed kingdom. And then you'll notice that Paul continues, in whom we have redemption. That is, in Christ Jesus. Notice, we have been fitted for the kingdom of God by the power of God. We have been delivered from the power of darkness to that which is light. And he has metamorphed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In other words, that in our flesh, with all of our sins, with all of our problems, with all of our iniquities, we were not fit to be in the kingdom of God. But he made us fit. And he also delivered us from the darkness wherein we walked. And then he translated us. He changed our character. He changed our nature. So that now we can walk in the kingdom of his dear Son. Now it is in Christ in whom we have redemption, another benefit. What is redemption? Well, it's to have someone pay a price so that you can be released from slavery or from prison. And the price that was paid, according to this scripture, is his blood. Flowing from the blood of Jesus Christ, given to the cross by God the Father, so that by the price of his precious blood we might be redeemed from the consequences of our sins and our iniquities. You'll notice that he continues, even the forgiveness of sins. That is, he has redeemed us, and through this redemptive act, we also have the forgiveness of sin. Verse 15 tells us that we know who this person is because we have evidence by those who walked in his age, who were contemporaries of him, that they have seen him, and they bear witness that he is the image of the invisible God. The word image means icon, which means a representation. So when we, by faith, see Jesus Christ, and we read of what Paul and John and Peter and all the others who walked with him, and above 500 who witnessed, the Bible tells us, his resurrection. We know who God is because we know who Christ is. The Bible tells us that he is the likeness of the invisible God, but he himself is the firstborn of every creature. That is, there has been no creature brought into existence before Christ. Christ was not brought into existence, but in the creating period, he is the firstborn. He is the one who existed. In fact, John, in the book of the Gospel of John that bears his name, the Bible teaches us that he is the creator of all things. Nothing was created without him. And the Bible teaches us, for by him were all things created. How many things? All things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. If there's anything in heaven, and there is, it was created by Jesus Christ. If there's anything on this earth, and there are many things on this earth, they were created by Jesus Christ. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that is, every form of government, every form of government. All things were created by Him and for Him. Now this goes 100% contradictory to the way we as a people look at things today. We know that all these came by Him, but we believe they came by Him for us. No. All of the things that came by Him were created for Him, not for us. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And that word consist means held together. It has to do with power. Very unique word. Bound together and held together, that is, they exist or consist because of Jesus Christ who created them. And in the process, He gave to them the ability to consist, that is, to remain what they are. It's an amazing thought. And all of this, the Bible tells us that He did it for Himself. And He is the head of the body, the church. That's another benefit. He is the head of the body. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. I'm glad Jesus Christ is the head of this church. That's a great benefit to us because we have His plan of how we must conduct ourselves. We have His plan of the things we must do and the things we shouldn't do. I thank God that He's the head, that He is the mentality behind every true New Testament church. Because if we do not look to Him as the source of our information and direction, then we will wander back into the kingdom of darkness from which we have been delivered. And we will be friends with the powers of darkness from which we have been transformed. And our allegiance will tend more to the kingdom of darkness than to the kingdom of light. And we will behave ourselves according to the kingdom of darkness rather than the kingdom of light. But with Jesus Christ being the fountainhead of all thought, as it is transformed through Scripture and the power of His Holy Spirit into this congregation, we can walk in the way that God wants us to walk, and we can fulfill the plans that were laid by Him. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. That is, the first of creatures that are resurrected, that did not essentially die, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That is, in everything that He has created, He expects and deserves to be reverenced and worshiped as the Creator. And the many things that we look at today, men are taking credit. They are assuming that it was our wisdom through the process of evolution, which I cannot comprehend, how that wisdom was transferred from one creature to another, so that in the evolution of even the human being, that there is a thinking process by which that evoluting creature decides that, well, I really need two kidneys instead of one, so I'll evolve internally a backup kidney. I don't understand how an unthinking amoeba, an unthinking whatever, can plan out what we are today physically. Made in the image of God. Some expression of what God is. That's confusing to me. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. All of the love that God has ever had was seen in Jesus Christ and demonstrated by Him to all mankind when He died on the cross. So we see the fullness of God's love. All we need to know about the love of God, we can see in the person and the actions of Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelt in Jesus Christ. He was not some small segment of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have just a momentary empowering of the Holy Spirit. But if you want to know how the Holy Spirit works, what He does, what He is, look at the life, the teaching, and the ministry of Jesus Christ, because we see all there is to know about God. We see all we need to know about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit in Him. For all the fullness of the Godhead was demonstrated by humanity as this man, equal with God and was God, walked among us as God. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, How can we ever find peace with God? We are at enmity with God. We are born strangers and alienated from God. How can we find peace with God? Only through what Christ did on the cross. And on the cross, He reconciled all things to Himself. The word reconcile means to be without spot or blemish. That is, by death on the cross, Jesus took every creature with every spot and every blemish that we have as His created beings, human beings. He took upon Himself when He died on the cross to wash us in His blood so that there is not a spot nor a blemish by which you can be rejected from the kingdom of God. You know, He fitted us to be heirs of the kingdom of God. And that's going to be for His people without spot and blemish. How can we be reconciled? That is, how can we appear before God without having some spot, some iniquitous stain upon us? Well, it was accomplished when He died on the cross. He reconciled all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, He was able to accomplish that which God desired when Satan rebelled against God and wrecked this universe. In the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, He wiped away, He shall, by that power and that offering, wipe away the spots and blemishes that may appear at this time. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, that is because of the way your mind worked, and by wicked works that your mind led you to, yet now hath He reconciled. That's, again, a word that means to present without spot or blemish. In verse 22, that He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, that is, with the characteristics that God Himself possesses. And one of those characteristics that God possesses, which is all-encompassing of His character, is holy and unblameable. The word unblameable, again, means without spot or blemish. And unreprovable in His sight, which means that in His sight there is not a charge that can be laid to us, because we have been washed, or the blood that He shed has made us fit for the kingdom of his dear Son. It has made us able to stand before God without spot or blemish. It has made us able to stand before God without a single charge being laid to us. How wide and how gracious is the forgiveness of God. The wonderful benefits that come from our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. I wish the world, and it will someday, recognize who made us. I can imagine the evolutionist standing before God, or I should say Jesus Christ, either as a person who's been saved and so ignorant of his salvation he doesn't know that, or the out-and-out atheist, that in some place, sometime, they'll stand before God. I'm just sort of curious if the evolutionist will argue with Christ, who sits on his throne, if he'll argue with him about, look, I made myself. I'm not answerable to you. You didn't have anything to do with my life. You didn't have anything to do with the earth on which I lived. You didn't have anything to do with my health, my strength. You don't exist. Isn't it strange that you would stand before that who does not exist to be condemned because you do exist and he made you? There's a lot this world has to learn, people, about itself and about God. Let's stand and sing, please.